This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm al-ashir min shahri Ramadan 1443 al-muwafiq li 12 12 من شهر أبريل 2022 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويبارك في شهرنا ويوتق رقابنا إلى النار. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped yesterday. If you remember, we stopped at the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه. So we mentioned that من لطف الله عز وجل is that Allah creates and He provides. He did not create people and leave them sudden. He provides them with all the means of sustenance, whether they are spiritual or they are physical. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that. He sent down the Sharia to guide us. And also He sent down the rizq and He granted us aql, and he is going to mention that in the almost the last part of the surah, that He granted us aql, but unfortunately most of the people are not using the aql. That's why on the day of judgment they said لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. Unfortunately we did not use the aql. This is what the people of hell will be saying. That's why they end up going to hell. So they do have the aql given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did not use it. Okay? That's why they went astray and they got into trouble in the hereafter when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is part of the lutuf of Allah and His mercy and His knowledge over His creation that He provided us with a place which is suitable for our life. That's the earth, right? Yeah. If we are in another planet, we will not know how life will be. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to put us in another place, you know, He will provide us with the nature which can sustain that place, you know. Yeah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about a people, He says, hatta idha balagha matli' ash-shams wajadaha tatlu'u ala qawmin lam naj'al lahum min duniha sitra. Yeah, some places are very hot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put for them, you know, anything to cover them from the heat of the sun. So, wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. But science or knowledge have led us to see how important is human being to be in this place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them. That is the wisdom behind that. And this is the most suitable place for our life. Okay? So, the earth itself also, by nature, moves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let it go with us like that. Make it so firm, so rigid, in the way you'll be comfortable to stay on it and to look for the risk. Get it? That's lutf from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ilayhi nushur. Everyone is going to be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability on the day of judgment. So if the risk is from Allah, what message you learn from this? You should look for the risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the halal sources. Because everyone has been given the risk and you will never escape that which is given to you. And this is a very beautiful concept. You will never escape that which is written for you. If it is for you, it will come. If it is not for you, no matter how much you try, it will never come. So it is always good and better for you to look for the risk through the halal means. One of the strangest thing I heard about this is the story attributed to Ali bin Abi Talib when he told somebody to help him to keep his camel out of the masjid, you know, and that person, unfortunately, he stole the lijam, the rope they put on the neck, so he ran away with it. Ali bin Abi Talib, when he came out, he came with dirhamain, 2 dirham to give it to that person as, reward for that which he did for him. But he couldn't find him. He found the camel, but he couldn't find the rope. So what did he say? He said, oh, subhanAllah, I came even to reward him, but he ran away with my thing. So Ali bin Abi Talib took the same dirham and he asked one of the boys, please go to the marketplace and buy me a new one, another one. When he went, he brought, you know, when he brought the lijam, and Ali bin Abi Talib saw it the same. This is mine that was stolen, you know. So he went to the person, the seller, and he asked him how much he sold it to you. He said, dirhamain. And I'm also selling it to you, dirhamain. He said, subhanallah. He doesn't want to take the two dirham with halal, and he went and took it from the haram way. So whether this story is authentic or not authentic, it is attributed to him. But the fact is, the message you understand from the story is true, supported by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says, "Inna ruha al-Qudsi nafatha fi ru'i allan tamuta nafsun hatta tastakmila rizqaha." Very beautiful hadith that everyone should memorize. Nobody will die before you complete your risk. He says, "Fattaqu Allah wa ajmilu fi al-talab." So if the risk is already prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, technically there is no point of taking haram, because the halal one will come. So it's up to you to make a choice to take it from the halal way or to take it from the haram way. So since the halal one is coming, why can't you wait for it? The Prophet ﷺ said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. You know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your earning. Make sure that you are patient and you look for the risk from the halal sources. وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُهُ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُنَالُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. SubhanAllah. He said, don't you ever be deceived by the delay in the risk. This is what is happening, especially nowadays, right? I try my best, but there is no job is coming, you know. Except this one. And this one from A to Z is haram. But then he will give fatwa for himself that this is darura. This darura, everyone learn it. And especially nowadays also we have special course called Maqasid al-Sharia. And this course exists in reality, but unfortunately we twisted the application. Everyone now has the right to go and legalize the haram under the Maqasid al-Sharia. You talk Maqasid al-Sharia, based on the Maqasid al-Sharia. As long as it brings benefit, it's all fine. It doesn't matter. Halal, haram, you know, Maqasid al-Sharia. Before becoming rich, is the easiest way, this is the safest way, this is what they will tell you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't you ever be deceived by the delay in the risk, which might push you to go and look for the risk through the haram, means, فَإِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُنَالُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. Because you cannot get that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has except through righteousness. You might say, but the kuffar are getting, the wrongdoers are getting the wealth. But if you look at richness, you know, as far as richness is concerned, those people, they are not rich. Because richness is the contentment of the heart. This is the definition given to it by Rasulullah. So he gave them a lot, and go and ask those who can be honest to tell you exactly with no cheating, you know, the nature of their life. It's tragedy, you know, it's tragedy. Somebody said he accepted Islam because when he made a comparison between the third world country, some of them, you know, and also the people he know in the New York, the richest people on earth. He says you can see their life, you know, every day as if they are being chased to hell. No happiness on their faces. They will never be happy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give you a lot, but he will remove the contentment. You will never be satisfied. And this is what poverty is all about. Being in a state of need. Those ones, always they have the feeling that they need more. They need more. Never be satisfied. That's punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No iman, no satisfaction. There is no way for you to be happy in life as long as iman is not cast in the heart. That's the only way for the happiness to take place. The real, the true happiness is only through iman. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ. So Allah reminded us that He provided us with everything, with also a complete system which will tell you which one is right and which one is wrong. So it's up to you to go for the halal way or the haram way, but ilallahi nushur. On the day of judgment, you will come for accountability. You're going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what exactly you take in this life. And where did you get your rizq? And also, how did you spend it? This question is very heavy. Every single rizq you get in this dunya, you will explain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did you get it and how did you spend it? So look for the halal and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely in your earnings. Put effort and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. If this tawakkul is being provided for us, I mean, if we observe this tawakkul, we will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the way He blessed the birds. Yeah, I don't know about you here in UAE, but in that village and forest I live, you know, after Fajr, when you come out, you see, subhanAllah, those birds, very early they're coming out of the nest and their holes, looking for the risk. Yeah, looking for the risk. Then we see them enjoying. No laziness, no sleeping. Every day they go out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَغْدُوا خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَالَةً. You see, they will go out. If you look at the hawasin, you also this, I don't know what they call it, the front part where the food is located. You know, when they eat a lot, you see the food. You can even see it. When you hold a pigeon, you can feel it, you know, because they don't chew the seed, you know, they just swallow. So you can feel the thing. So in the morning, the place is empty. But when they come back to their homes at night, it even twisted sometimes. You know. So Allah promised to make us, you know, subhanAllah, rich, like the way He is granting them, if we are to have the tawakkul. Because those ones, they didn't have this consciousness we have. They just have their own nature of the food being provided. As long as they go out, they get it. And this is what is going on. As long as they go out, they get it, you know. So if we can have the tawakkul, and the correct tawakkul is to put effort and then depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa tawakkul bitariqatil kusala. Those people who will sleep and tell you that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qaddar, I will get. If his father thinks in this way, he will never come to this life. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qaddar an takuna mawjud, lawujid. So the reality about tawakkul is when you put the effort, you use the sabab, and then you do the tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqilha wa tawakkal ala Allah. Very good example. Aqilha wa tawakkal ala Allah. So, and then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, He turns to the kuffar. He turns to the kuffar. That's number one among those people who did not use the aql. They claim to have aql, you know, especially our people. They claim to be the smartest people. They claim to be the smartest people. But day after day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them the truth and the reality. I met a brother who accepted Islam after a long journey with him. I think, من عندكم جاء. قديم من عندكم جاء. When he accepted Islam, you know, there was a long debate between me and him. At the end of the day, أهلاً وسهلاً. He said, there was somebody who accepted Islam and told him something. And that was, don't ask me what did he say, because I also forgot to ask him, unfortunately. He said there was a sister who accepted Islam and told him something. He said, when I heard that, I was saying to myself, that was the weirdest, you know, statement. How can a human being even say this, you know? But subhanAllah, he said, he was telling me before he accepted Islam. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let me see, I mean, reach a moment that I started to think that no word that is correct except that word, which I used to believe it was stupidity, you know, about Islam and some things. So that's why I said Allah is showing them day after day the reality, you know. Today they deny, tomorrow they see that nothing works except that which Islam mentioned. Yeah, I wish we did not distort the Islamic economic system and the Islamic financial system. I wish we kept it in the way it is. Because the world, because of these recessions, they reach a conclusion that nothing works except the Islamic finance. But in the way it is, you know, not in the way we interpret it. That's where we end off just cheating and deceiving ourselves at the end of the day, instead of doing the correct thing. Because we believe there is no, this is one of the jokes also that you might not heard it before. There is no connection and no relationship between the Islamic finance and the Islamic economics and the fiqh of Islam. They're totally separated. Did you hear that?
No.
And somebody says you have to go and do research and bring new sources. You know, you can't depend on the old one because these are new things we are dealing with. I don't know. Every book that somebody wrote on this field, the same thing they are taking but giving them different names. The same old things, because you don't have anything. Islam is one religion, you know. When you claim that something is Islamic, but it doesn't have connection to the sources we have, sources of Islam, then where are you getting it? That's the first question I asked some of them. Then where do you get that one? If you say this is Islamic, can you call it Islamic something? But unfortunately, you claim that it doesn't relate to the fiqh and it doesn't relate to the old sources. You know, we have to neglect them and come and depend on the writings, written by those people who are not qualified to speak on behalf of the Ummah, but unfortunately, they are the one who are doing. So that's why we get lost. We need to go back to the correct interpretation of the religion. No modification. When we want to succeed, we take the lead, we have to keep the old one. If you don't keep it, you will remain in the same position, if not worse, because you are deceiving yourself, thinking that you are deceiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu la yuhadi. Can't say because of your position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are Muslims and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us, we are the people of Allah, we just get it free. No, it doesn't go like this. You have to work for it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. If you say you don't want, one of the most beautiful things is that Allah will not send an angel and tell you, do it, He will just leave you. You do it in the way you want. And what happened? Tragedy will take place. Destruction will take place. A poet says, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَوْنٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْفَتَى فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَجْنِي عَلَيْهِ اجْتِهَادُهُ. If Allah doesn't support you, the first thing that will kill you is your own effort and your ijtihad, your own understanding. So this is exactly what is going on in this life of ours. So Allah says, آمِنْتُمْ. So now back to those people who claim to be having uqul. How dare you? You go and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come you go and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Aren't you afraid of the one who is in the heaven? Man fi sama. Who is the one fi sama? Allah. I find it so funny for somebody to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not fi sama. He said fi sama. And which sama? Sama. That's it. Where is the sama? Even the little baby knows where is the sama. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi sama'i fawqa al-arsh istawa. Get it? Scholars have written a book, Uluw Allahi ala khalqihi. Book of Uluw. It's talking about the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah being on top of everyone. Get the idea? Qala huwa al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alladhi laysa fawqahu shay. Even the children, when you ask them, believe me, if they are not brainwashed, they will tell you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the sama. Ask him, Allah is here or is in the sama? They will tell you in the sama. So naturally also we believe in that. If somebody says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere, then you are going to ask him some places and certain places, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there? He will tell you no. And the hadith of Al-Jariyah, hadith of Mu'awiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after slapping his slave, and the Prophet sallallahu, and he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because when he slapped her, he wasn't thinking at that moment. He was angry because she couldn't defend the sheep. She did not do the job. I don't know what did she want her to do. That's the hayat al-badiya, So the wolf came and took one of them, and he wants her to go and say to the wolf, bring it back, So he slapped her. Why? Why did she let the sheep, go? So, and then he regretted because, those rough people from the village, they smack, mashallah. She went down, from the standing, he took her to the ground, right? This one. So when he see the way she was crying, you know, this mercy also is there. So he decided to free her. He realized that he did something wrong. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is what I did, and I want to set her free. The Prophet ﷺ said, bring her first. You know, what you're going to do is correct, and this is the correct decision you are making, but bring her first before you free her. She came to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ asked her two questions. Number one, he said, Ayn Allah? Where is Allah? She said, what? Fis sama, and she pointed up in case somebody doesn't hear properly. She said, Fis sama. Waman ana, and who am I? She said, Anta Rasulullah, you are Rasulullah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, A'tiqha fa innaha mu'mina. He said, free her because she is mu'mina. If one of these questions is wrong, the Prophet ﷺ will not say she is mu'mina. Rattab al-Iman ala ijabatiha. He says, what she says is Iman. She has Iman, you know, from the answers she gave. And up is what? Respect. You know, Kamal, to be on top. Being down is not Kamal. Even in our concept, it's not Kamal. And nobody naturally wants it. Yeah, it is. So to be on top is Kamal. So min sifati kamalillahi azza wa jalla annahu fawqa khalqihi. One of the sifat that are so complete and so perfect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is on top of all of His creation. A'amintum fawqa al-arsh. So these type of things, you know, we just talk about them based on the statement of the scholars in the past. They said amirruha kamajat. Very simple. You know, concept. That's why I always say, if there is any field that there shouldn't be any controversy amongst the people, it should be the names and the attributes of Allah. But subhanAllah, in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, no conflict amongst the humankind. Even the kuffar accepted, except the majaneen amongst them, like Fir'aun and the atheists. These are the ones who deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but istiqanatha anfusuhum. I don't know, I never met somebody, but they said sometimes some of these people, when they got into trouble, they said what? Oh my God, what happened yesterday? You told us there is no God, but now when you realize that you are going to be in trouble, you remember that there is, the body remembers God, you know. So, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, almost there is nobody who is denying this, that Allah SWT exists, Allah SWT is the provider, Allah is the creator, almost nobody is denying this. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, this is the clash between the Muslims and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the battles of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are based on Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Every clash between the kufr and iman is based on Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, this is where you find the clash between the Muslims themselves. Like that, we just distribute the controversy. You take that, we take that. But as I said, subhanAllah, if I look at this, it should be actually the most peaceful field because nobody saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet said, لَنْ يَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ رَبَّهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتِ. The hadith of Muslim, nobody will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before death. He himself, he did not see him, you know, although there is a controversy also concerning this matter, but the Prophet closed the debate. They asked him, did you see Allah? He said, no. Nurun anna ara. So he did not see Allah. Nobody saw Allah. Musa wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know what happened to him. How is it possible if you use your common sense, you know, to describe something that you never saw? How would you describe something that you never saw? I mean, how does it work, you know? It's going to be a very funny description, you know. You can't describe somebody that you do not see. So that's why when you talk about Allah, you talk about His sifat, His ayat, that lead everyone who is looking for the truth, that Allah SWT does exist. So in the Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, what is the safest way? To believe in whatever Allah SWT says He has, because He knows Himself more than anybody else. And to close the mouth after that. That's it. No explanation. You know, no going into the detail about how it is. This is beyond our comprehension, beyond our knowledge. But we just talk about the meaning, because tafweed also is wrong if you are doing it in the wrong way. Tafweed al-ma'na, this is also wrong, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in Arabic. When He says as-sami', we know what sami' means. What does sami' hear? Everyone knows this, because according to the Arabic language, it has a meaning. So, but the tafweed that is correct is tafweed al-kayfiyyah. How that is, we leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He did not inform us, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not talk. Imagine if everyone accept this. I mean, ruha kama ja'at, we just let it pass in the way it came. Imagine if everyone accept this, you know. We're going to live a very peaceful life. All of these sects and groups, you know, most of them will be gone. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. You know, those people who are disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how come do they feel secure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them in this way? يَخْسِفَ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ. الْخَصْفُ meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause them to be swallowed by the earth, and then He will put the earth on top of them. Or sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause it to move first before the khasf takes place. That's why He says, فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, not let the mountain to be able to keep it stable. Or let it shake with us. Imagine life is like that, you know? It's shaking. How do you survive, you know? أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. I always hate it, you know. أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَإِذَا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, how come? You feel protected that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never come? You know, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakhsifa bikum al-ard, or you are in the place of security that protects you from the punishment of Allah, whereby yursil alaykum hasiba. Hasiba means strong wind with small pebbles inside it. You know, that's like the hurricane, like what happened to the people of Ahad, the people of Hud. Like Ahad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them that كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. So Allah is talking to the kuffar in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the day of judgment. This is what happened to the previous nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them in this way or the other way. You get it? Allah says, if this happened, فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. At that moment, the aql will come back to you. You will understand my warning properly. And subhanAllah, this is the hardest way of learning lessons, you know. You are in the punishment and then you reflect upon the lesson that somebody was giving you. So there's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the kuffar and those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing works in this life except righteousness. So it's giving them example to go back to the history and study and see the aqibatul mukaddibin. That's why he says, وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. He says, لَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Those people who were before them. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Those people who were before them, they denied. They rejected the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ أي فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. Go back to the history and see, how was that punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leveled on them? Go and see the nature of that punishment, and how big it is, and how harsh was it, you know, against those criminals. So as I said, nothing works except righteousness. That's why it is always good to reflect upon this ayah in Surah Al-A'raf. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us about the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and then Hud alayhi salam, and then Salih, and then who else? Shu'aib, then Lut, and then Shu'aib. After that, And last month I made a conclusion, because we're going to start with those heavy, heavy ones, Fir'aun and وَقَوْمُهُ and the Jew. I don't know which one is worse. So last month I made a conclusion, a page and a few lines. Wallahi, very beautiful conclusion. Before he begins with the last story of Bani Israel and Fir'aun. He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرِيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ سَيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ حَتَّى عَفَوْا وَقَالُوا قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. You know, it's referring to what happened, because he gave you very brief and short stories of each and every one of those prophets, the beginning and the end, and what is the cause of the deviation and the destruction that happens to them after they were deviated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what happens in every nation when we send them. This is, and what we do is we give them a lot. Subhanallah. Ma ashbah al-yawm bil-bariha. We give them a lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until the time they started saying to themselves, we heard that there used to be poverty in the past, you know. The previous nation, they used to suffer from this. In our time, already gone, you know. So they reach this situation, they are in the status of tuma'nina. Right? And then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got them. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. The Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. Allah give respite to the oppressors. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get them, they will never escape. And the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He will let people go. And this is what we call what? Istidraj, right? Istidraj means giving respite. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُنْ أَوْ يَنْعَمُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعَصِيهِ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ استدراج. It is, if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting the ni'mah upon a person and that person is still committing the sins, you should know that this is none other than istidraj. Giving him a respite after the moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for him to be punished, to come first, because in Allah la mukriha lahu. No matter how much evil somebody is, how much bad is this person, Allah will not punish him until the time he said he will punish him at that moment. You know, that's why they give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala option. Why don't you bring it now? We want it now, you know. But Allah is Wallahu la mukriha lahu, you know. Nobody can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what to do, you know. So he will keep them, give them respite up to the moment he wanted to get them. At that moment, they will never escape. This is فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. Go and see what kind of punishment reached them. So Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ. If you don't remember anything from this ayat except this, this is more than enough for you to succeed in this life. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah said, those people of the city that we destroyed, had they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they accept Allah, they accepted Allah and they practiced the righteous deed, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You remember the hadith that we mentioned earlier? مَا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُنَالُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. If they believe and they act righteously, Allah says, we will open to them, open for them, بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Subhanallah, blessings from the heavens and the earth. Allah says, وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. But unfortunately, they did not believe. They rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we hold them responsible of their attitude and their behaviors. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ أَوَ أَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِ لِلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْأَرْضَ أَلَّوْ نَشَاءُ أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَنَطْبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people, you know, just like what he says here, he says, are they in a state of peace? They think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to get them. You know, the punishment of Allah will never reach them. بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. You know, the worst type of punishment is the punishment that reaches you when you don't expect it. Harshest punishment is to be punished in the place where you expect peace. Yeah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right to do that. Or in the battle, because al-harbu khuda. In the normal circumstances, al-qatlu ghila, we call it, right? You give a person a man and then you cut him off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it impermissible upon us to do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَنْبَغِي لَنَبِيٍّ أَنْ تَكُونَ لَهُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ. So he says, either our punishment reached them at night when they were sleeping, or in the morning when they are preparing for their work and new life. At the end of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ أَحْدٍ. The reason why that punishment reached them, it is because the vast majority of them did not manage to keep the promise between us and them. وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. And basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we definitely found the vast majority of them as fasiqun. Right? The vast majority of the people on earth nowadays are righteous. I leave the blank for you to fill in, right? Yeah, I'm saying this because people will tell you nowadays, do you think 99% are doing this and you are the only one who is not doing it? You think you are right and all of these ones are wrong, you know? Allah says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُذِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Everyone knows that the vast majority of the people on earth are kuffar, wrongdoers. No doubt about this, right? The population of the Muslims is 1.something billion, right? The rest are kuffar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. SubhanAllah. This is one of the mu'ajizat, you know. The way the bird is flying. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them His power, His ability. He's the one who took these birds up. You know. In our time, we see things that looks like birds also being held and, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah, that aeroplane that is in the air, مَا يُمْسِكُهُ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. The only one that is keeping it like that is Rahmatullahi Azza wa Jal. The same like the birds. I guess they imitate them, right? They're imitating the birds. That's why they're according to what they mentioned to us, that the aeroplane is Muhakati Tayrani At-Tuyur. Yeah. In almost every bird that they come across, they try to bring something, you know. And that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, subhanAllah, is so unique and so accurate. I saw a documentary about this Tayran. You know, they said there are birds, they go to the place where those fighter jets, you know those jets, they have to have the oxygen. They can't go to that place without oxygen. But those birds, they were there, you know, the same place they are there. Where is the oxygen? That's why I said those guys, they are supposed actually to believe more than anybody else. But subhanAllah. Science nowadays is leading people to be so arrogant and to deny the reality, which is the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Him being in control. Yeah. And whenever I go on the aeroplane, you know, even seeing the clouds and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting them, subhanAllah, you have a strong reflection about Qudratullah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sunna Allah alladhi atqana kulla shay. Allah. That's the answer. When somebody asks, how is it? You know, the answer is, سُنَّ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. This is سِنَعَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The creation of Allah, the one who perfects everything. Yeah. But unfortunately, nobody understands this except somebody who has lub. So Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرُوا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَاتٍ وَيَقْبِذٍ. Why can't they just look at the birds? You know, that might, you know, inshallah, lead them to think about Allah and His existence and His power and ability. And also to think about the mercy of Allah. That's why He says, مَا يُنْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. It is part of His mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them intact without falling down and dying instantly. So He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِذٍ. صَافَّات means they open their feathers, right? You know, and then I believe everyone sees this, a bird in the air, just open, not moving, but just going, it doesn't fall down. What kind of system are they using? They explain. whether they're right, they're wrong, but there is explanation given by the science. Get it? So we just go with the reality. And I'm talking about myself, who doesn't study science. Maybe you guys went through it. But we just see the birds, so we understand this ayah properly. You know, practically, we see the birds opening their feathers. What exactly is keeping them, you know, is given by the knowledge. Because this is also knowledge that could be attained. So he says, صَافَاتٍ وَيَقْبِذٍ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping them intact and stable, you know, and they don't fall down. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is بَصِيرٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He sees everything. Whatever you guys are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. So as I always said, these messages in the Quran are for who? For everyone. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a person, delete that person and see the quality which is mentioned, the sifa which is mentioned. If that sifa in tabaqat alayk, you are antal ma'ani. You're also included. You're also intended. Usually the Muslims, when this ayat, you know, talks about the kuffar and their behavior, you know, this is for the kuffar. But then they have the same attitude, they have the same manner, they have the same behavior, and they think that, no, we are Ahlul Quran, you know. This is not for us. This is meant for others. So he says, "Ma yumsikuhunna illa ar-Rahman, innahu bi kulli shay'in basir." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything, which means everyone should be very careful, Muslim and kafir, because Allah basirun bi'ibadi. Allah sees whatever we are doing. No matter how much small it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. And a day will come which he says, "Ilayhi an-nushur." Everyone will be assembled next to him on the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. Eyu Allah. Because with all of this threatening by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person is supposed to reflect. Because history has shown that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never broke his promise. Whether the promise, you know, of the punishment, when he says these guys are going to be punished, when that word is cast on them, they have to go. That's why when they went to the people of Lut, you know, and Ibrahim was trying to beg the angels, trying to delay them, he told them, "Inna fiha Luta." Subhanallah. Out of mercy, you know, he wanted those people to be given more respite, but Allah already gave them what they need. They have burned everything. And سَبَقَ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَهْتَدُوا. Allah knows that they will never accept the truth. That's why some scholars said the only one who accepted Lut alayhi salam was his two daughters. Can you believe in that? You know, throughout his life, only his two daughters accepted him. The rest are all losers. But still Ibrahim, you know, لَأَوَاهُنْ حَلِيمٌ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He wants the respite to be given to them more, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave them what they need to reflect, you know, and they burnt all the excuses. What did he tell them after he told them, "Inna fiha Luta"? قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِيهَا لَنُنَجِّيَنَّهُ. They say, we already know who is in that place, and we're going to save all of them. When he says, there is Lut, they say, we know who is there. SubhanAllah. So we know who is there, and we're going to save them all. Don't worry. He and his family members, we're going to save them. He kept on begging. They told him, "Ya Ibrahim, أعرض عن هذا. إنه قد جاء أمر ربك وإنهم آتيهم عذاب غير مردود." He kept on begging. They told him, "Ibrahim, relax. Keep this issue aside. If you have another topic, we can discuss. But this one, no." They told him, because the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arrived, and the punishment on these people cannot be rejected. They must be punished at this moment. Angels know. They know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed something, they know nothing can stop it. So these people, they read the history, you know. They should go back to the history and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with the criminals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. None of them escaped the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ السَّعِيدُ مَوْعِدَ بِغَيْرِهِ. You always take lesson. This is the meaning of al-qiyas. Yeah. Khalid, to give you some relief. Qiyas, you should apply it not just in the fiqh, you should apply it in your life. This is the meaning of qiyas. Measuring things, looking at the nadha'ir. You know, somebody get inside this room and went out with no eyes. The next person went into the room and also went out with no eyes. The third one went out with no eyes. What does that mean? If you go... No. This is a place where people lost eyes. If you like your eyes, do not come into the room. So one person get inside the room and he lost his eyes and he said, how come? We told him, why didn't you learn a lesson from the previous ones? That's why, subhanAllah, being the Ummah of Muhammad, part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallah, is really interesting. It's a blessing, you know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about every history of those people that we should learn from them. Actually, we shouldn't be doing experiment, but we are expert, we said, right? We have to do it ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cook everything for us. It's just up to us to take it and make use of it. Those guys, they were doing experiment, many of them failed, and some of them succeeded. Allah told us the causes of the successful people and the causes of the failure of those who fail. What is my job and yours? To check the history and see how, I mean, who are the people who succeeded and why did they succeed? Study that one. You also use the same principle, it will lead you to success. Study the story of those people who failed and study the causes of the failure. Stay away from them, you will not fail. If you follow the same thing, like the way we are doing, up to date, you know? Up to date, we'll keep failing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هُوَ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٍ لَكُمْ أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٍ لَكُمْ. Why did you let me recite that ayah first? Okay. Only this one, okay? أَمَّنْ هُوَ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٍ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. Me and Abdurrahman اختلف مذهبنا. His madhab is madhab al-fatur. And my madhab is madhab al-dars. Okay, I will stop inshallah. أَمَّنْ هُوَ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, who do you think has the power and the capacity to support and help you and to protect you when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes? Maybe since you're still disobeying, you have somebody who stands for you, you know. So Allah is asking them, who do you think can do this for you, you know? That's why he said, إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ, you know. I love this ayah. Allah says, definitely these guys, they are in a state of what? Ghurur. What is ghurur? Deception. They deceive themselves, you know. Somebody give them khutbah that you can just go ahead, you know. And fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way for you to resist. That's why one of his name is Al-Wahidu Al-Qahar. The Qahar means the irresistible. You cannot resist Allah. You can resist anyone, you know. Even somebody who is stronger than you 10 times, a million times, you can still fight and lose the game, but still you can fight. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what can you do? Even those arrogant ones, they don't fight because they know they can joke with the prophets, but they can't do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun says, what? أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. You know, that guy is so drunk, you know. In the way, his drunkenness took him to even believe that he is Allah. Not only that, he believes that he is on top of Allah. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. طيب, he says he is the strongest, right? And he says out of his, one of the signs of his power is that the river is going under him. وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي قال العلماء فأجراه الله على. So he says, can't you see that I'm very powerful? Even the rivers are going under me. The scholar said, look at subhanAllah, jaza and wifaqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the river went on top of him. The point I'm trying to reach is the fact that when the punishment comes to him and he realized that he is going to die, where did he go? Run away to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, what happened? You know, now you deny, you even say you're more powerful than him, but when the punishment comes, why didn't he resist and fight? He ran away to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? He knows. Allah says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ذُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. He knows. That's why when he perceived death, he said what? آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Tawkeed. He says, I believe in whatsoever Banu Israel believe in, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says, and I'm one of the Muslims. So it's a very, very interesting, you know, excellent ayah. You know, not only for kuffar, to be honest with you, my dear brothers and sisters, it is applicable on the Muslims. Because we also disobey. So the question is, do you have any protection, you know? Do you have something to save you and to protect you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you can say to anyone who is insistent to keep committing the sin that definitely this person is maghroor, is deceived. All of the kuffars and the wrongdoers and the gangsters and those people who choose the bad way, intentionally, willingly, they are deceived by who? The devil, first and foremost, and also by themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Inshallah, in the next session, which is on Thursday, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we continue. And if Allah wish, we will finish the surah by Thursday, inshallah. Hopefully, we can finish the half of the juzu before the end of the, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
First question is, Assalamu
alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If we see istidraj upon a person, what should our attitude be towards them? First of all, how do I know? Yeah, unless if that person is exposing the ma'asi and he's not repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know for sure this ni'mah is istidraj. Yeah, because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, that means we can observe it, we can see it. Yeah, a person is selling wine, a person is drinking wine, a person is taking riba, you know, the hobby of today, you know, taking riba. The person is taking riba, the person is having illegal relationship with the opposite gender, the person is doing all of these stupidities, and at the same time he's rich, and he's so happy with that, you know. So that's istidraj. And that's one of the worst punishments actually in this life. For you to be given the richness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the physical one, you know, the dunya richness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked the eyes and the ears of this person, he couldn't see the reality. Yeah. That's why this statement of Ibn al-Jawzi is very beautiful when he says, one of the worst type of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani to punish a slave, but he made that slave in the way he will not realize that he's been punished by Allah, to become desensitized. It's ni'mah when you commit sin, you repent. There are some people who cannot repent. They don't even understand they are going in the wrong direction. So that means it's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are always thinking about your tragedies and you're coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are others who are not like this. He said this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person not to realize that he is going in the wrong direction. Because when you commit a sin, you're going to commit the other one, the other one, the other one. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And this is one of the meanings of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. The scholars said sins are included because the worst type of musibah is the sins. Having bad relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you commit a sin, another sin will take place because of the commission of that sin if you don't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn al-Jawzi said, you know, he said the one that is worse than the first one is the one that is happy with the punishment. Because sin are punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are some people who are happy with that. Is that true? Yes. A lot of people who are happy with the sins they are. They even invite people. If they're not happy with it, why would they invite others? One of his examples is the Murabi. He said, those people who are happy by that riba. He goes and take a loan and buy very fancy car in the loan that is based on interest, or buy a house in a loan that is based on interest. And he comes and show us to share the happiness with him. A'udhu billah. So this is really, really an issue, you know, to be happy with the commission of the sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. So istidraj is to be given the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first person to understand istidraj is you, the person who is the mustadraj, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving respite, because you are committing sin, and still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more than what you're asking for. What does that mean? You have to be very careful. Yeah. A person has to be very careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Wallahi, there is no good in the ma'asi. So try your best, since we are human beings. Can we stay away from the ma'asi completely? No, it is impossible. This nature of ours cannot stay from the ma'asi. You're going to commit the ma'asi sometimes accidentally. What is the best way for you to deal with the issue? To repent immediately. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And always look at the statement of the scholars. I guess Ibn Jawzi, if I'm not mistaken, he has this statement, إِنَّهُمْ, whether he said it or he quoted it from somebody, إِنَّهُمْ مَنْ تَقْتَقَتْ بِهِمُ الْبِغَالِ وَهَمْ لَجَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَرَاذِينَ, not Brazil, بَرَاذِينَ فَإِنَّ ذُلَّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُ وُجُوهَهُمْ أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. It's a very nice statement and scary at the same time. إِنَّهُمْ مَنْ تَقْتَقَتْ بِهِمُ الْبِغَالِ وَهَمْلَجَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَرَاذِينَ. Nowadays, we don't have the Brazil. We have them, but they don't use it nowadays. They use Ferrari and Lamborghini and the other Guinea. They use all types of cars. Some of them you might say, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, if somebody tells you that they are made, you know, until the time you see them with their own eyes. Yeah, if it is halal and a person is righteous, it's okay. You know, but many, many of those owners of that one, Allahu alam bihalihim. So although they have all of these things, you know, and they have the pride, they have the wealth, they have the castles, they have everything. قَالَ فَإِنَّ ذُلَّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُ وُجُوهَهُمْ. He says the humiliation and the disrespect, the humiliation of the ma'asiyah, لَا يُفَارِقُ وُجُوهَهُمْ, can never leave their faces. Wallahi, some of these people, you can trace that this person is not living at ease. And if he is to be honest to tell you about his life, you will confirm what you are thinking about him. أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuses, except to disrespect and to put down those people who always disobey him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it in a better way. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, وَجُعِلَ الذُّلُّ وَالصَّغَارُ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put humiliation and disrespect and putting people into the low level. For who? مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي. Those people who are going against my command. May Allah grant us tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah.
Question by Musa. Which is better for a man, to pray Taraweeh in congregation at the mosque where the ruku and sujoods are short and they do bid'ah, or to lead his family for Taraweeh at home where he can lengthen the ruku and sujood to his liking?
Yeah, for sure, if you have the masjid that is not applying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for sure it is always better for you to go and pray at home with the family. Yeah, there is no doubt in this. If you have any masjid that you don't feel comfortable in the way they are doing, it's better for you to go home. Yeah, wherever you feel comfortable, pray with them. If you don't feel comfortable, rather than clashing and fighting, just go home and pray alone. That's it. Whenever you can advise them, whoever you can advise, you go on and advise them. Praying Taraweeh in the masjid is a virtue. And when you are patient and you pray until then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the reward of somebody who prays the whole night. Yeah, but at the same time, as I said, salah is ibadah, an act of worship. People have to do it according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. So alhamdulillah, Taraweeh was prayed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? It wasn't ijtihad by companions. Yeah, because it was night prayer. He came and prayed and people prayed behind him. The second night, either he came again or he did not come, according to most of the narrations, that he did not come. They came the second night a lot. You know, yesterday was only few, because nobody knows he's coming. But when they heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been here, they came a lot, you know. The third day also they came a lot, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come. So he told them, the reason why I did not come, it was my fear that if I do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might make it wajib upon you. So as I said, Musalah, you look into the masjid. If you don't feel comfortable in the way they are doing, because they don't follow what the Prophet ﷺ is doing, it's 100% better for you to pray at home.
My second question is, if someone has memorized a small portion of the Quran, is it better for them to recite from memory for Taraweeh?
Or to open the Quran?
Or read from the Musalah.
I already predicted the last part of this question. Yeah, because it is asked so many times. So don't say I have some wilaya. There is no wilaya. Okay, so the question is about which one is better. I memorize only Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Only that one. Qul Huwallahu Ahad is a bit longer than Inna A'tainaka al-Kawthar. Inna A'tainaka al-Kawthar. That's the only thing I memorize, unfortunately. So if I have this, which one is better, to hold the Quran and read or to repeat that one? To repeat that one is better. It helps you to have more khushu and more focus in your prayer. Repeat Inna Atayna. Focus on Inna Atayna al-Kawthar. Keep on reflecting upon the meaning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read an ayah, إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Until then, kept on repeating. So to repeat the the surah, every rakah is okay. Even the Prophet ﷺ did it in some part of his prayers. Even the wajibat, the Prophet ﷺ repeated the surah. So it's a zalzala, he once repeated it twice. The first rakah and the second rakah, right? So you can keep repeating that one. It is better for you to maintain the khushu. That's why those people who are praying behind the imam with the Quran, you know, I don't say that prayer is batil, but this is khilaful awla. It's better to focus with the imam and what the imam is doing, whether you understand or you don't. And those people, they're causing trouble sometimes, you know. Sometimes the imam breathes, you hear them fixing, you know. And sometimes also, the imam, you know, did not make a mistake, you know. But their eyes see something. Because if they don't memorize the place, their eyes is reading something and the imam is reading something else. They will be fixing the imam. They mentioned that an imam was praying and all those behind were holding the Musahif. Every single movement they correct him. Alhamdulillah for the imam, the electricity was off. They have been correcting some of those, the first rakat, and then he's living in the country where the electricity goes up and down. So they took off the electricity. Until the end of the prayer, you hear nothing except silence. Only the imam is leaving. So after the prayer, he talked to them. He said, what happened? Where were you? Anyway, Allah SWT grant is good. So it's better to read from your memory rather than reading from them. Nowadays, even the imam also done, you know. I was invited to pray in the masjid. SubhanAllah, I have a big Quran in front of me, the imam. It's like, okay, what is that? And then I see that the previous imam, they open it. Anyway, but I don't see the need of this, you know. If we are going to invite somebody, imam, and nowadays also we even pay the imam to come and read in the Quran, the ma'mum also can do that. Why do we need to bring somebody from outside, you know? Anyway. Yes, Abdul Rahman.
With regards to praying behind the imam that uses the Quran, does it affect the salah of the ma'mum? Yani, if I have the option of praying behind the imam that does not open the Quran and one that does not open the Quran, is the salah that I offer behind the imam that does not open the Quran, is it better?
For sure, because the imam, which is not yani, the possibility of khushu to take place with the imam who is not using the Quran is more likely than the imam who is holding the Quran. Because it distracts. Whenever you're holding something, holding thing itself is distraction. Yeah, I know. You are talking about the khushu, right? Of the imam. But you also, if you ask your consciousness, Abdul Rahman, you have an imam who is reading from his memory, and this imam reading from the Quran, which one do you feel like you definitely are doing Taraweeh? Oh, it does. He's just trying to deny what is in his heart. Yeah. Anyway, you get it, Abdul Rahman. Anyway, I believe the one who is not using the Quran, is better. It's more closer to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ than the one. In the past, they bring Hufaz to lead, you know. Hufaz. Okay? To lead the prayers. They don't bring somebody to come and hold the Mus'haf and read. Only in our time. Yeah, because we focus so much on, not your question, I'm just talking in general. We focus so much, you know, on the voice. You know? And that's true. People focus so much on the voice. It's also mustahab for you to make the Quran beautiful, but we shouldn't focus on that. That's why you can see a person having a very nice voice, but subhanAllah, qatala tajweed qatlan. He imitated Husari, he imitated Minshawi, but the tajweed, la hawla quwwata illa billah. Just focusing on the voice. Nowadays, they even produce for us maqamat, like the maqamat al-shi'r. They read Quran like that. A'udhu billah. Allah, a'udhu billah. Even the kuffar says Quran is not shi'r. He says, I know what shi'r is all about. That which Muhammad was reading is not shi'r. And it's not the kalam al-shu'ara. And nowadays we are trying to make it like the shi'r, you know. A'udhu billah.
Question by Hafiz Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for sharing. Can a special needs adult with autism or Down syndrome take medication to control his sexual desires?
As long as the medicine doesn't harm, we go with the lesser of the two evils. If he cannot control it naturally, he can take medicine to control his desire and try his best to live in the better way. And the best thing for him is marriage, right? Talking about sexual desire, right? The best thing for him is marriage. Yeah, do anything possible in the marriage to make sure that he controls his desire. If it doesn't work, then go to the medicine. Yeah, but as long as the medicine is not harming, you know, he has to go for this. When it harms, but the harm is lesser than the other harm, then we go for the medicine rather than staying away from it. So, Allah salamu alaikum. These are, I guess, rare cases, right? Yeah, rare cases. And a person, if he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because sometimes, to be honest with you, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But sometimes, it's just a matter of submission. Because nowadays, we have this belief that this is who am I. The person is not going to change. He will tell, no, this is him. And subhanAllah. Allah asks you to change. That means you can change. Now, referring to those ones, you know, a person will tell you that you have to decide your gender. Even the gender also, they decide. You know, you have to tell, you have to think which one. A'udhu billah. So what I'm saying is that the person should strive, should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and put effort he himself. He can do it. Bismillah azza wa jalla. What is autism? Mental disorder.
Yes. So he cannot get married, or if he can get married, he doesn't really know his responsibilities, and he has sexual urges. So what's the solution for this person?
The wali gave him, and the sister wants him.
Maybe.
Yeah, the sister wants him, right? She knows he has this mental. I'm just trying to understand from the question, right? Because the marriage happens, right?
The question is, what's the ruling on him getting married in the first place?
Yeah, so if the sister agrees, right? And this person is not Majnoon. If he is Majnoon, this is wrong for her to agree with this. Because she's putting herself into trouble. It's Majnoon, she might wake up in the grave one day, you know. But he has some mental problem. And she knows that. She's steady, she knows. And her family know that. And she said she wants nobody except him.
Yeah, later.
she said she wanted, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. No. Mental disorder, disability is, I mean, it could be one of those issues which marriage could be stopped if there is a request by one of them. But they agree, they know. And this person is not, in a way, he might harm her life, you know, except that he has that junoon in that area, and she agrees with that. And that's her problem. Do you get the idea? It doesn't affect the marriage itself. What will affect the marriage is what will put her into trouble. Then we will think for her. We will not let her think. Even if she said, I don't mind, we said, no, we mind. You don't mind, but we mind for you. We stop the marriage. We try to see how to protect him from other means. Yeah, because any sister that that will go to him, she might get herself into big trouble, you know, at the end of the day. But if it is just that kind of problem, which is not going to harm her physically in the future, and I don't see anything wrong with that, as long as she agrees. Because there might be, believe me, there might be a situation that she just wants to help. Whether it's wrong decision or right decision, but this is what she thinks. She just wants, this person has to be helped. She just wants to help him. So that's why she married, so that he can have somebody who will take care of him. And she's ready for that. Get it? That's it. Otherwise, if you leave him and he has that one, tomorrow what will happen? You know, he will support the prostitute in the city. And nobody will accept that. So if there is somebody who can accept him, then Ahlan, Sahalan, let them invite us for the walima, we will go. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq.
Question by Ayan. In a case where the mosque does hijab by doing some recitations between every two rakat of the Taraweeh and after witr and so on and so forth, is it sinful for a person to pray in the congregation in such a mosque?
No, inshallah. No. You just go and pray in the masjid and then go out. For the sisters generally, is which one is better for them? Going to the masjid or praying at home? Praying at home. Yeah. It's better for them. Although going to the masjid has some relief, you know, working on the way, it gives relief. And if a sister knows that she might not pray in the house, because sometimes she will stay away from the masjid and house also she will not pray. So it's better for her to go to the masjid. What you don't agree, just pray. What you agree, and then the rest, just leave it. Otherwise, in this dunya, you know, there is nobody. No, you know, you rarely find a place where you can go, you know. Every place you have an issue. Every place, wherever you go. This place has that. So just take what is right, pray with the imam, then go back home. You get an idea? In every masjid, when you go and they do whatever they do between the prayers, nobody says you have to do. And you don't want to do, just sit and wait for them when they start the Taraweeh. We have an imam from one of the countries in the apartment a few years ago before the dunya of Corona. You know. This imam came, subhanAllah, very young person. To love you, I graduated long ago. SubhanAllah, he came, we invited him to come and lead. After every four rakat, people do some tasbih first, and then they stand up. Okay, so he doesn't know the policy. And he came, he was shocked. So what he did is, when he finished the four rakat, he would stand up very quickly, so that people would not be given chance. So he becomes in a battle between him and the masjid. They don't talk to him, but they still do their dhikr, and the man is just hanging around there. SubhanAllah. So these type of things, the best is not to come. Right? And you have a way out, you don't agree with something, don't go, you know. Because sometimes you go and create mashakil, you know. You gotta create mashakil, and there is no point of having these mashakil. Alhamdulillah, this is Taraweeh. Just pray home, you know. During the Corona, how many people like the way we are praying in the masjid? A lot don't like the way we are praying. Almost everyone, nobody likes it actually. But we are forced to do that. We have the social distancing, right? There are some who don't agree and fight. And why do you fight? You know, go home and pray. You know, pray at home, pray in the way you believe is correct, but don't come to the masjid. But when you come to the masjid, don't fight anyone. You know, but subhanAllah, some people are troublemakers. They will come to the masjid to fight, and they know they will never succeed. They will fail, and tomorrow also they will come for this. What is this? You know, so Allah salam wa afia. I thought you would keep asking. I'm going to tell you, Abdurrahman, I'm not responsible. Yesterday. Okay.
If you're being tested with people being kidnapped these days, and the money asked is usually a lot, can zakat be used to ransom a person from this situation, or it's only limited to slavery?
Okay. Yeah, I guess I answered this question yesterday. Right? Answered it yesterday. Abdurrahman was right, and I am also right, you know. Because I answered it personally. The person who has the question asked me, so I answered the question, but I will say it for the benefit, inshallah. To say that those people are like slaves, they are not slaves. You get it? Shara'an, they are not slaves. But can we take from the zakah to get them out of the tragedy, because we know if we don't do that, they might be killed? Yes, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, zakah is applicable on this one to release them, you know, from that difficulty, to get them out. But as I told the one who asked, except in situations where the government is trying their best, and you know, yes, government is fighting those evil ones, and the government is urging people not to give money, because giving is bringing them more. The more you give, the more they come. And this is a fact. You give, tomorrow also they kidnap another one. This is how they're making money, because people give. So although nobody will agree, you know, now I'm theoretically it's okay, right? But if a family member of a person is kidnapped, and then I come and tell you, don't give money, you will never understand me at that moment, right? Yeah, practically when it comes, you know, it's not easy for somebody to apply it. See your father or your mother or your brother or wife or sister or whoever, you know, they're crying, begging you to help. It's not easy for you just to walk away and tell them, just go, you know. But if you look at it, you know, in the sense of protection and also eradicating that kind of evil, it makes sense what the government is saying in those places. That try your best not to give. Because if they don't get with this one, I mean, some people must sacrifice their life. For sure they're going to kill. They have been doing, actually. But then the next time, if they realize that people are not giving, they will introduce another tactic, but not this one. Because they're doing it for money. So if the money is not given to them, they know that this is just a waste of time. They will end up just killing people just like that. Get idea. So if there is a policy like this by the government, and the government is serious, I'm talking about serious government, not those who talk but they don't put it into practice and action, you know, it's better not to give them from their zakah. You know, not to give them from zakah, because at the first place, you are not helping the situation to stop. You're not helping the situation to stop. But if nobody is doing anything, or the government just say it but they are not doing anything, you know, they don't do anything. Can we give the zakat to save him? Yes. The community should strive to see how to curb the situation and stop it by themselves, since the authority is not doing it. In those places where people are tested by this, you know, it's really tragedy. You know. So what I'm trying to say is, if there is nobody who is helping the situation to be ended, and when somebody is captured, inshallah, when you give him from the zakat to release him, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that will be okay, inshallah. So Allah salam alaikum. Allah grant us good. Finish. Okay, that's all for today, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. See you on Thursday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.